Cha-ching. That's the sound of Lowe's Labor Day savings. Get up to 45% off select major appliances and save up to an additional $100 on select laundry pairs. Plus, get 3 bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil for just $10. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in-store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome to Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randall. Dive into the live courtroom drama as we bring you unfiltered audio from one of the most riveting trials of the year. Accused of multiple marital murders, Randall's fate unfolds before us. Join us as we navigate the testimonies, the tension, and the truth behind the headlines. This is Dark Vows.
We are back on the record in C250966, David Edwards, Thomas Randall. May the record reflect Mr. Randall was present with his attorney, deputy district attorney, on behalf of the state. We both parties stipulate to the presence of our jury?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes, Your Honor.
State, you may recall Detective Mong. Mr. Randall, you are still on the jury.
Thank you.
Still under.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor. Detective Mogg, I think we left off at the end of the walkthrough. At that point, Mr. Randolph left this Rancho Santa Fe residence with his brother.
I believe so.
Okay. And then homicide detectives left whenever they left.
Yes.
I think you alluded to this, but there was possibly some further processing of the residence with the crime scene analyst that night.
There was.
Okay. I want to sort of shift gears here. How many witnesses and victims do you think you've interviewed over the course of your career? Estimate.
I don't have a clue. Probably thousands.
Has any of those people ever reported receiving a busy signal on 911?
Judge, I'd object to this. I object. He's not qualified to give a discussion about that, to provide an answer or an opinion about 911.
It's not an opinion. I'm just asking about his experience as interviewing victims and witnesses.
Well, I mean, he can testify to his experience as a police officer, but we had the Lumens person here yesterday in regards to the 911. I'm going to sustain that objection.
Have you ever had anyone report hearing a busy signal?
No.
In the residence, did you take note of where there appeared to be like landline phones in the residence?
I did.
And can you give us the approximate locations of those?
There was one in the kitchen dining room area, I believe. There was one in the master bedroom. And I believe there was one in the office area.
Okay, the place where he got the gun, that little room right to the left when you go in through the garage?
That's correct.
Okay. During on the first night, were you called upon to move a vehicle out of the garage?
I was.
Which vehicle was that?
The Hyundai, I believe it's a Santa Fe, the SUV that Mr. Randolph was driving.
And what was the reason why that vehicle needed to be moved on the 8th through the 9th?
I believe they needed to do some more processing in there and photographs and that, and they asked me if I would back it out.
When you backed out the vehicle, did you notice whether or not music was playing loud?
I didn't notice that it was overly loud.
Okay. During Mr. Randolph's interview, he indicated that... from the dinner They, at the charcoal room, that he and Sharon Randolph went to a gas station before they proceeded home?
That's correct.
Did you do anything in order to verify or secure the sort of the timing information on that?
I did. On May 13th, I went to the Funny's gas station, met with management. They provided me surveillance video of their gas pumps. I reviewed that video.
Okay. How did you know what video to ask for? Like, how did you track it to the transaction?
We looked for a timeline and then also for Mr. Randolph's vehicle arriving.
Okay. And did you, like, verify it with, like, a particular transaction at a particular pump?
Yes.
Okay. And that video was collected by you?
It was.
Your Honor, at this time, the state would move to admit and publish 315.
Objection to 315?
No, Your
Honor. Okay, 315,
does that appear to be the Randolph vehicle at the pump?
I believe that's his vehicle at the pumps.
So on the right-hand side of the frame of the sort of surveillance, there appears to be a lighter colored SUV that just pulled up.
That's correct.
The Randolph vehicle?
Yes.
Your Honor, if we could just get clarification for the record, I think he's wrongfully identified the vehicle. Is that accurate?
It's this vehicle, the lighter colored one. The other one wasn't wearing the correct clothing.
Right now, it appears to be pulling away. Detective, did you drive the distance from the that gas station to the Randolph residence?
I did.
And how long did that take you?
approximately 3 minutes, depending on the light cycle. It's just under a mile.
And you drove kind of the most direct route there would be, I would assume?
I did. I pulled out of the gas station, drove northbound on Rancho to Rainbow, north on Rainbow to Rancho Santa Fe to Mr. Randolph's residence.
At some point after the, during the course of this investigation, were there times that Mr. Randolph would call you on the phone?
Yes.
Do you remember him calling you and giving you some information about Sharon Randolph and gambling?
I do.
What was that conversation?
I believe it was May 12th that Mr. Randolph called me. I don't recall if it was on my cell phone or my desk phone. He had my card. But he told me that his wife, Sharon, had spent approximately $40,000 gambling in a two-year period.
Do you remember him calling you to report other alleged missing items?
I do.
And what was the approximate time and content of that conversation?
So that would have been June 4th, the day after the walkthrough. Mr. Randolph called me to indicate that he was missing a couple of handguns, some jewelry, and some silverware. He kind of indicated that Mr. Miller may have been involved in those thefts.
And did he actually do a subsequent call a little bit later, sort of retracting that?
Yes.
And what was that conversation?
On June 23rd, Mr. Randolph called me to say that he needed to move on from his wife's death and that he no longer believed that those items were stolen and didn't believe Mr. Miller was involved in that.
Did he ever call you to inquire about life insurance?
He did. On June 27th, he contacted me via telephone and told me that, he asked me if the case was still open and then told me that the insurance company won't pay out until the case is closed or since the case is still open.
Thank you. Your Honor, I'll pass the witness.
Good afternoon, Detective.
Good afternoon, Mr. Orme.
Detective, I want to ask you about that, the initial responding to this scene. When you respond to a scene like this, this is a double homicide, there are a lot of law enforcement personnel that respond. Fair?
That's correct.
In fact, before you got there, there would have been patrol officers that arrived.
Absolutely.
There would have been, what are violent crime detectives?
So those are detectives who, they have a general specialty. They'll respond to shootings, aggravated assault, batteries, things like that. And they're there to gather the information. And if the person does not pass away, then they basically handle the case.
So in this case, violent crime detectives would have been present before you showed up, before homicide showed up?
I believe they were called by patrol.
Okay. So approximately how many law enforcement personnel, first responders, would have entered into that crime scene? And when I say that, I mean into the garage, into the house. How many, before you did your walkthrough, how many do you think?
Normally it is, excuse me, it would be four-ish responding officers who would go into the residence and clear the scene to make sure that it's safe for medical personnel to go in, because they won't go in until police officers have cleared the residence. So probably four in the area of four initially would have went in. And then after that, a couple of paramedics would have gone into the residence. Then once the victims are determined to be deceased, then normally everybody backs out and they secure the scene.
And when you say victims, you would agree with me Mr. Miller's a murderer, correct?
I would agree at this point, yes.
Now, I realize that it's been a while, and so I'm going to ask you if you can actually give us a number for how many law enforcement personnel. I realize as you're sitting there, this is going to be difficult for you. Do you think if I showed you a copy of the officer's report listing all of those officers and personnel, that would help you refresh your memory?
Yes.
Okay. May I approach on page 2 of the officer's report?
Detective Ma.
Well, okay. Thought maybe you had it.
I do.
If you could just sort of count to yourself, and maybe we could do this while I'm up here, how many officers at the top responded?
So it looks like there's 10 officers, two sergeants, and a lieutenant.
Okay, so that would be 13.
Correct.
Okay. And then you have canine officers.
That's correct.
And appear to be three?
Three.
C detectives, when you say C detectives, major crime detectives?
That's correct. Those would be major crime detectives.
Three?
Yes.
Homicide detectives?
Six.
Could you turn the page? Crime scene analysts?
Three.
Coroner's investigators?
Two.
Mortuary personnel?
Two.
Paramedics?
They have one listed.
And it's actually written in there, entered the garage?
Correct.
Ambulance?
Two.
Okay, so fair to say, Detective, that there were quite a few law enforcement personnel that entered that home at some time or another.
No, that's not accurate.
Okay, tell me why.
Because there's only a certain number of officers who would have entered the residence. The rest of the officers are on the log because they arrived. Whether they secured the outside of the residence, blocked off the streets, sat with Mr. Randolph, whether they even had any part in anything other than just arriving on the scene, their names would have been put down there.
Some people are just protecting the scene, making sure people don't enter. Is that fair?
Correct.
Okay. So, leads me to another point. You said that some of them may be interacting with Mr. Randolph. Do you remember saying that right now?
Yes.
In fact, prior to you arriving, there would have been officers that actually questioned Mr. Randolph, just to find out what's going on in there, that type of thing.
I would assume so. I wasn't present for that, so I don't know for sure.
Using the protocol that you're familiar with, do you think major crime detectives, they would have at least done a cursory interview of Mr. Randolph to find out what had occurred inside?
I know they would have obtained information in order to brief us. Where they got that information from, I don't know.
Well, is it fair to say that at some of these more important scenes, that on the front of a patrol car, they'd actually use sort of a magic marker and write on the hood what was going on?
At times they do, yes.
Was that done here?
I don't recall.
Okay. But at some point when you arrived, you're briefed on what's sort of occurred and what you're dealing with, right?
That's correct.
And you were briefed, is
yes.
that right? And you learned that Mr. Randolph was the individual inside who said he'd shot Mr. Miller.
That's correct.
Okay. So it's fair to say that at the time you're being briefed, there's people who've already obtained this information from Mr. Randolph.
I would assume they got some from him. Whether they got some from other witnesses in the area, I don't know.
Before I sort of leave this, Mr. Randolph was wearing clothing that day. We can see it. Was that impounded by you?
Was not. After I returned back to the scene with Mr. Randolph, I told the scene detective, Detective O'Kelly, and the crime scene investigator that we needed to photograph him and take a look at his clothes. That wasn't done.
And it was not done?
It was not.
Okay. I want to talk to you about, first of all, Mr. Randolph's statement on May 8th going into May 9th. And when I say that, you know, you can see that we're in the very late hours of May 8th going into the 9th.
Correct.
Mr. Randolph told you that he believed the man he shot was a man named Michael Miller.
That's correct.
And you, in fact, confirmed that the man he shot was named Michael Miller.
Yes.
Mr. Randolph told you that he met Michael Miller approximately 5 months beforehand at a convenience store.
Approximately, yes.
And you learned that he had known him for that period of time, approximately.
Yes.
Mr. Randolph told you that he had hired Mr. Miller to do sort of odd jobs, sort of handyman type jobs.
That's correct.
And you learned that Mr. Miller, in fact, did some handyman jobs around the Randolph home, correct?
Yes, according to Mr. Randolph.
Okay. Mr. Randolph told you in the interview that, in fact, Mr. Miller had at one time gone to Colleen's home, that's Sharon's daughter, and had actually done some type of handyman job one time.
That's what he said.
That's what he said. Okay. Mr. Randolph told you that Mr. Miller didn't have a car but normally rode a bike.
Correct.
And before I segment away from there, there was a bag of clothing recovered near Mr. Miller. Do you remember this?
I do.
And in fact, the pants were laid out, and there, do you remember something distinctive sort of on the side of the pants? Do you remember this?
I recall the clothing in a bag, that there was a shirt. There was, the other bag had a towel and a black bag, but I don't recall much other than that.
Let me see if it refreshes your memory. If it doesn't, there you go. That there appeared to be sort of a ripping or tearing on these pants that were consistent with what law enforcement thought was riding a bike from a bike chain. Do you remember this?
So, I don't recall that. Detective O'Kelly is the one that actually conducted the scene investigation.
Okay. Mr. Randolph told you that Mr. Miller had found a key at some point, and Mr. Randolph told him, give me my key back. Correct?
I know that he said he found a key. I don't remember if he said, give me the key back, or he gave the key back.
Yes, I would agree with you. It was too strong a statement. At some point, he indicated that he received the key back from Mr. Miller.
I believe that's what he said.
He told you he trusted Mr. Miller, didn't
he? Yes.
He told you he had paid Mr. Miller and lent him money, didn't he?
That's correct.
And you learned that to be true, or to be accurate?
It's accurate.
Mr. Randolph told you that Mr. Miller, he had been driving on May 8th with Mr. Miller, and he was going to go to the bank, but he'd missed the turnout. Didn't he tell you that?
That's correct.
He told you that he and Mr. Miller had gone to look at jet skis, the Kawasaki jet ski place on Rancho, didn't he?
Yes.
Mr. Randolph told you he had been with Mr. Miller on May 8th before the incident, didn't he?
Correct.
He told you, Mr. Randolph, on May 8th, that he and Sharon had gone to the charcoal room, correct?
Yes.
And in order to verify that, because you wanted to verify that, you went to see if you could find video of the Randolphs at the Santa Fe.
I did not go to the Santa Fe. I don't know if another detective did.
You've seen video of the Randolphs leaving the Santa Fe, have you not?
I have not.
You have not?
No.
Okay. Mr. Randolph told you after he went to the charcoal room, he went to Funny's gas. Well, after he left the Santa Fe, they went to Funny's convenience store gas station.
That's correct.
So law enforcement went and obtained video from Funny's.
I did that.
And in fact, you saw the vehicle and you told the jury that's the vehicle.
That's correct.
Now, before I move any farther from that, Detective, in the hundreds of homicides you've handled, it's fair to say that you have had to obtain video from 7-Elevens, convenience stores, gas stations, casinos, lots of different sort of establishments.
That's correct.
And fair to say that not all the time is the video calibrated. The time is not calibrated.
That's correct.
And when I say that, just, I know you know what I'm asking you, but if we could just get clarification. In other words, just because you go to a 7-Eleven on Rancho and Charleston and get a video and it says 7:55, doesn't really mean if we get our Apple Watch out, that was the exact time.
That's correct. We always try to obtain the accurate time. We either use our cell phones or our watches against the time that is depicted on the video.
Would it be fair to say in this case with Funnies, there'd be no way to do it? In other words, you go get the video, that's the time that it says it is, right? The time we saw.
No. I actually would have looked at the live feed to look at the time that I picked the video up to make sure that it wasn't, you know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour ahead of time.
How far was it off?
I don't recall. I would have made note if there was a difference in time between the live feed and the actual time on my watch.
But you said you didn't recall.
I don't. I don't recall what the time was. Obviously, on here, the time was 8:24 p.m. approximately. When I picked up the video is when I would have looked at the monitor and my phone or my watch.
Okay. So do you note in any report the accuracy of the timing of the video?
I did not.
Mr. Randolph said that he drove home and that he had to let Sharon out of the vehicle because it was too tight a fit into that garage for both of them to get out.
That's correct.
And when you observed that, you could sort of see what he was saying. Fair to say?
Yes.
He told you he let her out and that then he slowly went in, sort of following her to make sure she could get in the door. That's what he said.
Correct.
And you talked, without saying what they said, to a man named, or excuse me, you know there was a neighbor who observed the timing of this, named Mr. Bartlett, across the street.
I believe one of my partners talked to him.
Okay. And he was actually on the phone. Do you remember that was something that you obtained with phone records? Maybe not you, but law enforcement did?
I believe so.
And you wanted to obtain that because it was important to the timeline, correct?
Yes.
Very important, right?
Correct.
Based on what Mr. Bartlett was saying he observed, you wanted to get those phone records so you could correlate what he had seen and heard against the phone records, correct?
That would be accurate, yes.
Do you remember what time the phone call between Mr. Bartlett and his friend, what time it started?
I do not.
Do you know what time it ended?
I do not.
Mr. Randolph told you that when he went into the house, he observed Sharon at the end of the hall and tried to describe sort of where her head was.
Yes.
He said it was a little bit into the master bedroom, didn't he?
Correct.
When we saw that walkthrough, it appeared that carpet had been removed sort of where her head was. Did you see that?
There was quite a large blood stain there, and I believe that's why the carpet was removed.
Okay. And that would that be done by hazmat?
Whatever company the insurance company hired to do that.
Okay, so at the time you're doing the walkthrough, we know that there have been people in there cleaning up, cutting out carpet, making sure that this place is acceptable for people to go live in.
There? That's correct.
Mr. Randolph told you that he saw something that spooked him. Something spooked him. It could have been, he even called it floaty. Something he saw spooked him. Do you remember him saying that?
Yes.
Do you remember him saying that he then got a gun from the bedroom where he was near?
I do.
And he tells you that as he comes out, he bumps in to Mr. Miller, correct?
Correct.
And then he says, he sort of pushes him away to get space, right?
Yes.
And then he shoots him multiple times.
That's correct.
He doesn't know how many times, does he?
I believe at one point I seem to recall him telling me that the pistol was loaded with 9 and he didn't remember the slide locking to the rear, so 8 or less.
So he told you he'd actually shot 8 or less, right?
I believe so, yes.
And Mr. Miller was shot 5 times, right?
I didn't attend autopsy.
Okay. So you just don't know how many times he was shot?
That's correct.
But he clearly told you, Mr. Randolph, I shot Mr. Miller. I shot that man, didn't he?
Yes.
He told you at one time that the mask, he says actually multiple times, he says to you and to Detective O'Kelly that something happened with the man's mask, sort of it pushed up, and he then describes maybe he couldn't see very well in it. Do you remember him saying that?
Yes.
And then he's asked, was the mask still on Mr. Miller when he was laying in the garage? And he specifically said, no, it was laying to the side. Do you remember him saying that?
That's correct.
And that's what the pictures show. It was laying to the side.
Yes.
Mr. Randolph says that he actually shot shots inside the garage. Didn't he tell you that?
Correct.
And in fact, you found cartridges in that garage, didn't you?
Yes.
He said that he had shot in the garage, and he had shot Mr. Miller, he believed, in the head. Do you remember him saying that?
That's correct.
Did you see Mr. Miller's body?
Only a cursory view of him. I didn't look close.
You wouldn't dispute that Mr. Miller was shot, would you?
I would not.
He told you that he had called 911, and in fact, he did call 911, didn't he?
Yes.
He told you that there was no doubt in his mind that Miller was going to shoot him. Do you remember him saying that?
I believe he said something to that effect.
He tells you several times, he uses the word, I'm basically deaf, or words to that effect. Do you remember that?
I do.
Do you remember when he said, I didn't hear a first shot, I didn't hear this, I had music up and I'm basically kind of deaf? Do you remember him saying that?
I do. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when he was talking in the walkthrough and he talked about how he thought maybe Sharon had fallen over shoes?
Yes.
Do you remember when he said, I wish that could have happened right now? Do you remember him saying that?
I do.
Like in a loving way. Like I
objection,
wish.
Objection, calls for speculation. Mr. Offer, you can't spend your way out there now, Mr. Randolph, and think you can tell us what he heard.
Okay. During the walkthrough, page 42, counsel, he's talking about how it drove him crazy how she would leave these shoes out. Right? Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
I'm going to ask you, do you remember him saying, it drives me crazy, and I'd love for her to do it right now?
I remember that.
Do you remember in that first video, in the first interview, there were a couple times where Mr. Randolph pauses and doesn't answer your questions right away?
Yes.
Do you remember Mr. Randolph saying that he thought Mr. Miller was ripping them off, and he was referring to the night of the incident?
I don't know if he was only referring to the night of the incident or he was speaking about other times.
Do you remember in the first interview when, at the very end, you're asking you and Detective Hardy where he's going to go? Essentially, where are we going to take you? We're done. It's sort of late in the early, or it's the early morning hours of the 9th. What are we going to do with you? And he says, I don't want to stay there ever again, referring to the house. Do you remember?
Yes.
Do you remember when he asked you about funeral arrangements?
I do.
Now, during the interview, you asked him about gloves. Do you remember? You wanted to know, I think it's Detective Hardy who says, hey, there's some gloves. Do you have any gloves like that? Do you remember that?
That's correct.
Okay. And he sort of says, yeah, we have gloves around the house. Do you remember him saying that?
Yes.
Okay. So one of the things you do as an experienced homicide detective is you request forensic science, forensic testing on items, right?
Correct.
Like gloves, masks, things like that.
Yes.
Okay. After the first interview, he took you and showed you where Mr. Miller lived?
That's correct.
And is in fact true? Is that, or did you learn that that's where Mr. Miller lived?
It was.
One thing I don't mean to nitpick. That it's not a snub nose 38. Have you seen it recently?
A brief glance at it. Now that I recall, it had a 4-inch barrel.
Okay. He told you that the gun, he found this .22 underneath Mr. Miller's body.
Yes.
And that he had thrown it into this room, essentially, so that he could be safe, and that this is also what he was being instructed to do in 911.
I don't recall the 911 operator telling him to throw it into a room. I recall Mr. Randolph proposing that he go look for the gun. And then the 911 operator, the fire department operator said, okay, go do that. Then Mr. Miller said, well, I picked up my gun. I have my gun, I think is what he said. And then he goes out and he's not speaking on the phone.
Detective Mogg, you said Mr. Miller, you meant
Mr. Randolph.
And so when you're saying that Mr. Randolph does that, would you let the 911 audio speak for itself, would you?
I would.
Do you recall, in a prior proceedings, calling the jewelry costume jewelry?
I believe so.
Have you looked at that jewelry recently?
Recently?
Yes, sir.
No, sir.
You're not, without being sarcastic, you're not a jeweler. You have no idea, right?
I am not. I only have to buy it.
Okay. And some of that's pretty valuable jewelry, depending on your financial situation. Would you agree with that?
Some of?
The jewelry that was laid out. Have you ever seen a picture of it laid out?
I have not.
They're coins. Do you remember coins? What looked like gold or silver coins?
I saw what was in the bag and what was in a jewelry box, and it appeared, you know, not high-end jewelry to me, just something that I would call costume jewelry.
Okay. You told us that you went into this house and you did not see it as ransacked. Do you recall that?
I do.
It's in this 160. Let me move backwards. I'm going to put on the screen what has been admitted as State's Exhibit 168.
Mr. Armand, we do that first. We wrote it down in front of the machine. It's there. In front. There you go.
Thank you, Judge.
There we go.
Can I do it again?
Hold on just one second. So you're supposed to easily take the remote and make sure they're on. I think the TV's just turned down. Take them
off.
Can you see that
on your screen? Yes, ma'am. TV's are. There we go. There we go. Okay. Do you see, Detective, I'm going to show you, can you see that quite well?
Okay. I can see the picture, yes.
Do you see the coins that I'm talking about at the top left-hand side of it? Do you see that? It's about four coins in a row.
See the circular things. I can't tell you what they are.
Okay. Do you know if there's a solid gold antique watch in there?
I do not.
But that somebody says they're missing their solid gold antique watch, you would agree that that may be valuable.
Well, obviously, a solid gold watch would be valuable.
If Colleen had told the jury that, you wouldn't have any reason to dispute it, would you?
I wouldn't have any reason to dispute if somebody said a solid gold watch.
Do you see a lot of gold depicted in that video?
I see a lot of gold metal.
Right, and you just don't know if. Okay. We can pick out anything there, and you wouldn't be able to tell me whether it was fake gold, 14-karat gold, 18-karat gold, would you?
I would not.
But there's a lot of jewelry there. Would you agree, whether you want to call it costume or what? There's a lot of jewelry there.
There's quite a bit, correct.
You're familiar with handguns, aren't you?
I am.
If somebody wanted a 38 Smith & Wesson six-shot revolver, that's going to cost several hundred dollars, more than $500 today.
Ooh, I don't know what the current value of a revolver is. I don't believe it would cost more than $500.
From Smith & Wesson, I bet it'd cost more. It wouldn't be less than $700, would it? You're just not sure, are you?
No, I couldn't tell you how much it was, but I don't believe it would be that much. It'd
be real easy to look up, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Okay. We wouldn't have to dispute it. We could just simply...
That's correct.
Okay. There's two of them, right? There were two of them that were involved. Two Smith & Wesson revolvers, one a 22 and one a 38, were involved in this case, right?
Correct.
Now, you were saying that you didn't see ransacking, right?
That's correct.
If I showed you, Smith & Wesson has a website, doesn't it? To buy a gun online.
I believe so.
Okay. If I showed you the current price of one of these things, would that help?
I'm going to object. This crime occurred in 2001.
He said today it wouldn't cost that much.
Then I object as to relevance.
I wonder how that's relevant.
Okay, that's fine.
That objection is sustained.
You saw pictures in that house of drawers open, didn't you?
Yes.
You saw pictures of jewelry boxes on the floor.
I saw empty drawers from a wall-mounted box.
You saw, how many drawers did you see disturbed in that house total?
Two, three, four, six, seven, eight.
Mr. Randolph told you Mr. Miller had been in that house and had done work in that house, right?
That's correct.
He said that he had painted this area where the gun, this sort of, for lack of a better word, a gun compartment was, correct?
Correct.
And you could see that there's some, for lack of a better term, sort of a paint differential that looks like there's being a change of paint.
That's correct.
It's not very articulate, but you understand what I mean.
Yes.
Okay. So let's go through some of these drawers open. Now, I'm showing you State's Exhibit 117. That appears to be the master bedroom, doesn't it?
Yes, it is.
So there's one drawer open, isn't it?
Correct.
You could put your hand in there and pull something out, couldn't you?
If you zoom in on it.
Could you put your hand in there and get something out?
Sure.
You could be looking for money in there, couldn't you?
You could.
I'm going to show you State's Exhibit 105. still the master, isn't it?
Correct.
Okay. And there, you see there's jewelry boxes or some type of boxes on the floor, right?
Yes, there's the three drawers from the wall-mounted box, and then there's another jewelry box, for lack of a better term.
How did that bed look before the Randolphs left to go to the charcoal room?
I have no idea.
You don't know? You just don't know, do you?
No.
I'm showing you 106, State's Exhibit 106. What's that flower object down there?
A door weight.
Okay. And then there's three other boxes, right?
Those were the three boxes that you saw from the other picture.
Okay. And I'm showing you what's being marked as 110, or admitted as 110. You see those drawers open?
Yes.
You see something's, some type of clothing is sort of... I
think you have to move it over.
Can you zoom out here somewhere?
I can.
So you can see
the clothing.
Okay.
See that? Clothing on the side of the drawer?
I do.
Fair to say, Detective, that Mr. Randolph and Mrs. Randolph came home, and you wouldn't dispute Mr. Miller was in there, right?
No.
In your experience as a police officer, burglars get caught. Sometimes they get caught, don't they?
Yes.
Sometimes when you're in robbery, let's say, some bank robbers get away. Fair? They leave the bank and they get away.
That's correct.
Some have shootouts in the bank.
Yes.
Some get caught right in the bank, don't they?
That's correct.
So some people get caught right in the act. They're caught right at that time, right?
Yes.
Showing you what's marked as State's Exhibit 115, you see that sort of cabinet door in the center of the picture is kind of open behind the bed. Do you see what
Yes.
I'm showing you what's being marked and admitted as 116. See that in the bathroom it appears some drawers are ajar, for lack of a better term.
This is one of the things that I thought was odd.
Okay, I didn't ask you that. I said they're ajar, isn't it?
Yes.
You see in 123 some slippers sort of in the way of the door, don't you?
I don't think they're in the way of the door.
That's a poor question. You see them right there, the pink slippers.
Correct.
Not placed in the closet, but just sort of out, right?
Yes.
I'm showing you what's being admitted as 124. You see this sort of console. Do you see that it looks like the door is just slightly ajar?
Yes.
Showing you what's being marked and admitted as one State's Exhibit 129. That's the gun, isn't it?
That's correct.
That's the gun he said he was trying to throw into a garbage can.
Yes, that's it.
And he was saying that he actually said the suitcase wasn't there, didn't he? He said, oh, I don't think the suitcase is some kind of clothing. Do you remember that?
Correct.
He got it wrong, didn't he? Suitcase was there, but he told you it wasn't.
Yes.
Didn't he? There's no importance to that suitcase whatsoever, is there? There's no importance to the suitcase whatsoever. He just got it wrong, didn't he?
That's correct.
Detective, when you talked to him the second time, he agreed to talk, didn't he?
The second time being a walkthrough?
Let's do it this way. The first time you talk to him, he says, you know, he talks to you, right?
Correct.
He talks to you, answers all your questions until you're done asking questions.
Yes.
Okay. He doesn't have an attorney there.
He does not.
He doesn't have somebody like Mr. Tomchek there, does he?
I'm sorry?
He didn't have somebody like Mr. Tomchek sitting there giving him advice, right?
He did not.
He did a walkthrough a week later, right?
Yes.
He showed up with his brother.
That's correct.
He didn't have an attorney there with him, did he?
No, sir.
He tried to answer your questions, didn't he?
Yes.
He told you at the end of the walkthrough that he was getting tired, his back was hurting.
That's correct.
He told you at the beginning of the video, I just want to cooperate. Do you remember him saying that?
Correct.
And he did try to cooperate with you. In other words, he tried to answer your questions. He didn't say, I'm not doing this, I'm walking out of this thing, going to get an attorney. He didn't do anything like that, did he?
That's correct.
The doors, we saw the doors of a closet were off track, right?
Yes.
Okay, so why don't you tell the jury about the condition of the safe inside of that closet?
I didn't conduct a crime scene investigation. That would be a question you would have to address to Detective O'Kelly.
If there's a safe in a house, and there's a potential burglary, or there's been an attempted burglary, would you want to take a picture of the safe?
Again, I didn't conduct the investigation of the crime scene, so the question you're going to have to ask Detective O'Kelly.
Fair enough, because your responsibility that night was to question witnesses, or excuse me, in this investigation, one of your responsibilities was to question witnesses, right?
Mr. Randolph.
Was that it? It wasn't to question other witnesses?
That's correct.
Who would be responsible for would that be Detective O'Kelly? To have to interview other witnesses, like the Miller's family or anything like that?
I believe that was Detective Long, who also responded with us that night.
Okay. Did you actually ever go and interview Billy and Vita Miller?
I believe so. I believe Detective O'Kelly, or I may have went with my partner. I know I interviewed other people later in the investigation, not that night.
Without telling me what they said, you interviewed these people, and one of the concerns you had was looking for a mask, right?
Looking for a...
mask, ski mask.
Correct.
Or a missing ski mask. See if you could find out where this mask had come from. Do you remember? At the conclusion of interviewing Vita and Billy Miller, you asked for consent to search their home for a mask, didn't you?
Yes.
And you didn't find a mask, did you?
That's correct.
But having interviewed them, Vita and Billy Miller, you thought it would be important to look for a mask in that house, right?
Correct.
Because one of the masks that night when you're interviewing, that day when you're interviewing Vita and Billy Miller, you begin to look for a mask, but this mask has a big hole so that the mouth would show. Do you remember this?
I don't recall that.
Did you look carefully at the mask in this case? The one that was right next to Michael Miller?
I did not. Again, that was Detective O'Kelly who conducted the crime scene investigation.
Okay, so it wasn't something you noticed. You didn't notice whether it looked like there was, like, it was almost sort of sewed together, the mouthpiece.
I did not.
That walkthrough. It was important to do the walkthrough so the jury could see exactly what happened, right?
It was important for us to do the walkthrough with him so that we could get an idea of the dynamics inside that hallway at the time that the incident occurred, at the time that Mr. Randolph said that he shot Mr. Miller.
So
one thing to explain it to me, it's another for me to watch you actually reenact and show me where you're standing.
Okay. How many officer-involved shootings have you ever responded to?
About 75.
That's a lot, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
And when I say officer-involved shootings, just so we all know, I know what you're talking about, but what we're talking about is police officer has discharged a weapon and has shot somebody, maybe it's fatal, maybe it's non-fatal, and you're responding to see why the police officer has discharged his or her weapon. Is that
That's
fair?
Correct.
And you want to talk to the police officers because you want to find out, hey, you know, why'd you discharge that weapon, right?
Yes.
But never have you ever videotaped or caused to be videotaped a police officer describing and doing a walkthrough on a shooting? Fair?
That's not true.
How many have you done?
Well, I was involved in one that I actually was the person who did the walkthrough.
Okay. How many videos have you seen done of officers that were involved in officer involved shootings?
I'm gonna take a ballpark guess here. 10 plus.
Out of 75.
Approximately.
Were you videoed walkthroughs?
Yes.
Okay. Now, are you familiar with the International Association of Chief of Police?
I am.
Is that the biggest sort of organization of police in the United States?
More like the management of police departments.
And they are an organization that gives you a guide on officer-involved shootings, right?
I believe they have one.
I'm going to ask you some statements and see if you agree with them. An officer involved in a shooting is perhaps the most traumatic event an officer will encounter during service. Do you agree with that?
I agree.
Such incidents trigger complex psychological and emotional effects. All too often, the normal coping strategies employed by individuals are inadequate for such extreme event. Do you agree with that statement?
I do.
Initially, an officer involved may be dazed and upset and have feelings of disbelief. Do you disagree with that or agree?
I agree.
Do you agree with the statement? The officer may have difficulty comprehending the reality or significance of the critical incident. From a few hours to a few days later, he or she may show signs of depression, tension, agitation, irritability, and fatigue. Do you agree with that?
Some do, not all.
We're all human, and we all feel things different. Fair.
That's true.
Officers that are involved in shootings have different reactions, right?
Yes.
Some can appear numb. Is that fair?
Some.
Some very agitated.
I haven't seen any that were agitated.
Crying.
I would agree, maybe some.
There is also a shock reaction period where the emotions concerning the incident become blunted. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
The officer may feel emotionally detached and numb, but also experience occasional anxiety attacks. Do you agree with it?
I don't know that I can say that I agree with that.
Okay. Additionally, emotional reactions may include confusion, impaired decision-making, loss of judgment, and slowness of thought. Do you agree with that?
And when you say that, you're referring to...
police officer involved in shootings.
After a shooting?
Yes, sir.
I don't know that I would agree with that completely.
Would you agree with the statement, typically within several days of the incident, a full emotional impact of the situation is realized, though this can be delayed by as much as 6 months to a year or more? The officer involved will typically experience an emotional and physical letdown. Do you agree with that?
I know that there are feelings that you have weeks, months later.
Do you agree with the statement? Some of the more common reactions are fear, anxiety, anger, rage, or blaming those responsible for the outcome of the critical incident.
All I can do is speak to myself, and I didn't have those feelings.
You would also, as I'm reading these, you would think this is probably a good guide to give maybe less experienced officers the understanding of what they're dealing with at an officer-involved shooting, right?
I think it's always good to explain to officers what could happen if you're involved in a critical incident.
Would you agree immediately following the incident, the department should provide physical and psychological first aid to involved personnel, including assignment of companion officer or peer counseling? The focus should be to support calming the stress.
Yes.
Do you agree the investigative process and potential consequences can be the most stressful aspects of the incident for the officers, and within the first few hours after the incident are often emotional and confusing? Do you agree with that?
Every officer, with the exception of one that I've interviewed in connection with an officer-involved shooting, has always been willing to talk to me and provide me the information I need so that I could complete my investigation.
Just like Mr. Randolph did, right? Mr. Randolph did that, didn't he? He talked with you, right?
Yes.
He did a walkthrough with you, right?
Correct.
So he did, according to you, you're saying about 10-15% you saw videotaped of officers involved in shootings. He did the same thing, didn't he?
That's correct.
He did it without an attorney, didn't he?
Yes.
When an officer's involved in a shooting, they get him a representative, don't they? Union representative, maybe even an attorney, don't they?
Correct.
So that that attorney could advise the officer about any potential consequences, right?
Yes.
Mr. Randolph did not have that, did he, at the time of the walkthrough?
He did not.
Did you say there was a landline in that house? There were three landlines?
I believe they're the handheld phones.
Voice over. It's not a landline, is it?
I call them a landline because they sit in a dock, so yes.
On the night in question, after all these personnel have been conducting their business at that residence, it's fair to say that only three cartridges are recovered. There?
Again, I didn't conduct the investigation of the crime scene. You would have to ask Detective O'Kelly.
Would it surprise you, or would you dispute it, that it took more than a week to find two more cartridges?
I know that when we went back to do the walkthrough, we found additional cartridge casings.
During his first interview, Mr. Randolph, do you recall at approximately 12:19, Mr. Randolph holding his mouth, or holding his mouth area, like not pain, I don't want to say pain, but just sort of something's distracting. Do you remember that?
I remember him doing that on a few occasions.
And he said that he had bitten his lip or something along those lines. Do you remember that in the walkthrough? He said he bit his lip or something.
Yes.
And he said that's when he came in contact with Mr. Miller and maybe the mask, and it had gone sideways or gone up. Do you remember that?
I believe that's what he said.
If I could move backwards again to the officer involved shooting. Have you ever heard of the Lewinsky, Mr. Lewinsky, an expert named Lewinsky?
I know him.
He testifies that officers often have difficulty recounting exactly how many bullets they fired.
Objection? This seems fast not in evidence.
If he knows.
We can ask him that in the form of a question.
Sure. Is that part of Mr. Lewinsky's theory?
Objection relevance.
Counselor Birch.
When we watched the video of Funnies, do you remember on direct examination the prosecution or Ms. Weckerly showed you?
I do.
And then you said it sort of ended. That was the complete video, right? Do you remember that?
I thought that there was another one with a different angle that showed the vehicle traveling north on Rancho, but that might be the only angle.
Okay. In fact, I want to show you this to see exactly when we lose sight of that vehicle. Can we do so? While he's looking for that, Mr. Randolph told you before he had gone to the charcoal room, he had dropped off Nicholas. That was his autistic Sharon's autistic grandchild.
That's correct.
Do you remember in a call that you had with Mr. Randolph on June 23rd, 2008, he told you that he was going to share the...
Objection, hearsay?
They brought out every portion of Mr. Randolph. They brought... Okay. When you sweep a house, when you were a young patrol officer, did you have to sweep houses?
Yes, sir.
Okay, when I say sweep a house, tell the jury what I mean.
It's clearing a house to make sure that no one's hiding inside the house.
How do we actually hear that on a night on the 911 call, don't we?
I believe so.
After Mr. Randolph is ordered out of the home, it sounds like two police officers go inside to sweep the home. Is that fair?
Well, I don't know that you can tell how many officers enter the house. There would be a minimum of two.
And what they're doing is they're going room to room, looking in closets, making sure there's nobody sort of hiding, right?
That's correct.
And that must be a very nerve-wracking process as a police officer. Is that fair?
It can be.
And it can take a while, can't it?
Yes.
Can take several minutes.
Yes.
And as a police officer, you want to make sure of that, like in this case, because there could be another perpetrator inside that home.
That's correct. That's what the officers are looking for.
And in fact, in this case on that 911, you hear officers like sort of commanding that if there's anybody inside, come out, that type of thing, right?
Yes.
You'd want to announce yourself as an officer so that people don't think you're some type of home invader. Right?
Yes.
Now I'm going to go back to this video, and if we can watch the video, okay?
Mm-hmm.
For the record, this is Exhibit 315, and I want you to watch, strike that. You agree with me that when you first started watching this video, you incorrectly identified the vehicle. Right.
Yes, I incorrectly identified the dark vehicle that was parked here. It's the lighter car right here.
Fair enough. And so I want to watch, we sort of stopped it, and I want to continue on until we can't see that vehicle any further, okay?
Okay.
You're listening to Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randolph. There's more raw courtroom drama ahead as we bring you unfiltered audio from trial. Join us as we navigate the testimonies, the tension, and the truth behind the headlines. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a minute. More Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randolph, next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.